Hello and welcome to the Label Sessions Presents podcast. Label Sessions is the world's leading innovation expert network. In this series, you will meet some of the most interesting leaders anywhere, from across the worlds of business, design, tech, culture, and sustainability, all signed to the Label Sessions roster. To find out more about our work, helping brands and institutions around the world take on their big challenges for the future, head to labelsessions.com to find out more. For now, enjoy the podcast.
Thank you so much for taking the time to sit down with you. I really appreciate it. And welcome to the podcast. And just to kick us off, I'd love for you just to introduce yourself to our audience and share what you're best known for.
Sure thing. Thank you so much, Josh, for having me. My name is Julia Sotska. I'm the Chief Brand and Communications Officer at V7, which is a MarTech company that works with pharma and life sciences. Myself, I'm a former journalist. I worked in newsrooms in Canada, the United States, and Ukraine. So I switched to PR fairly, I wouldn't say recently, 5 years ago, but it seems like it hasn't been that long.
And a big thing that you're a proponent for is storytelling, obviously, making that purpose-driven storytelling for both individuals and businesses, that is such an important part. And what is the first sort of step that you think about when showcasing the genuine values and character of businesses and their people?
Oh, absolutely. I think this is where my journalism background comes into play. Ultimately, every person that is a journalist or wants to be a journalist wants to be a storyteller. So storytelling to me is something that I try to utilize as much as possible in my public relations career and my communications career. But I think when it comes to stories, people often focus so much on the messaging and forget that core aspect when it comes to your story. What do you bring to the table that makes you unique? Because ultimately, we're all unique. We all have a story to tell. It's just a matter of how we position it and how we translate that to the world.
Do you typically start with the people and find the overarching message afterwards, or do you start with the message and fire stories after?
I think it depends. I think when we're talking about a business, we'd probably focus more so on the messaging. But when you're talking about an individual brand, if you're talking about the CEO of a business or a chief business development officer or any other C-level, you'd probably want to know their story, how they got to that point, what makes them successful in what they do in terms of their career. So that would be more of a personal focus. When you're talking about a business focus, you try to come up with a message, what makes that business different, what sets it apart, what is that heart of that business, right? So you'd focus more on the message.
And why is that sort of authentic branding and marketing important, and how often should you circle back and review that strategy?
Well, absolutely. Authenticity is key. If you think about it, everybody Googles things. People want to know. People want to get to the point fairly quickly. They want to know what you're all about and whether you're real and whether you're authentic. So being honest about what you do, who you are, and what your business entails, I think that ultimately resonates with the audience, right? When you're trying to get that message across, when you're trying to push that message across, if you're not authentic, people will see right through you. And if you're not authentic, people will make sure other people know about it. So authenticity in terms of your messaging, in terms of your approach, is very, very crucial.
How often do you circle back and review the strategy as you go through this sort of process?
Here's the thing. I'm a firm believer in the strategy. I love writing long presentations. I love a lot of research, but I am also very keen on the fact that it is 2024 out there and things change very swiftly. And if you planned something 5 years ago, well, it's not going to be relevant today. Who knew that ChatGPT is going to take over? A lot of people suspected it. Obviously, folks at OpenAI suspected it. But when it comes to strategy, you have to revisit it, if not yearly, but definitely as often as you can possibly sort of take a look at it, see what works, revise it. Also, make notes of what you've been successful at. I wrote a strategy 2 years ago for my company, and we went back last year, and I'm like, oh, we achieved that and that and that, and that's a tick off that list. So looking back at it is very, very smart. you shouldn't write a strategy every half a year. One, it's very time consuming. Two, it is also people consuming in terms of effort and research and all these aspects. But I think looking back at it at least once a year is very, very important.
I'd love to sort of change the focus a little bit there then about how you talked to us before and obviously the world about everything is PR. And I'd love for you to talk a little bit more about it.
I love that quote. Everything is PR. Ultimately, it is about your personal brand. It is about the brand that you represent. So long gone are the days where you could write something on social media and people were like, oh, that's okay. They just tweeted something. Again, there is no more Twitter. It's just X now. But, you know, it's not about that. If you post your opinion, you're likely going to resonate with the brand that you represent, with your company. So you have to be careful about what you say and how you say it. Again, I mentioned that people Google things. So if you're not authentic in what you say and what you represent, people will know about it. Ultimately, how you present yourself in the media, at events, people take note. It is the kind of world that everything is published, everything's live, everything's out there. And I don't think there is a person, even if you don't have a very vast social media footprint, somewhere someone is going to mention what you said, especially if it's in a public realm. So it is important to make sure that you present yourself authentically, but you also are very structured about the messaging that you push towards the world and the public.
Brilliant, brilliant. And I know you touched on it a little bit there, but I'd love for you to delve into a little bit more about how important it is to understand and effectively project someone's unique story in public eye, and how is that emotional value sort of tied into a brand's narrative?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You do have to understand your audience. So you have to understand who you're showcasing to, who you're pitching to, who you're presenting to. Obviously, the audience will be a bit different when you're talking to the media or you're presenting a very beautiful presentation at a very large scale event. But once you understand that, once you sort of narrow down the focus, you have to think about how you portray yourself, your brand, and your messaging. At the end of the day, it is about what you say, but also how you say it in order to get to the people, to get to, I wouldn't say play on the emotional heartstrings, but people are emotional. It's not about selling now. It's about what brand resonates with the audience, and whether I sort of measure everything, you know, and my colleagues will attest to it that sometimes I'm too harsh on that. I sort of measure things, whether I would buy into something, whether that resonated to me personally. So if a brand is talking about values, talking about a mission, talking about something that's more on a social level, I'm 90% likelier to research them and probably buy something from them, rather than a brand's just saying how great they are and what they do and how everything, whatever they sell and whatever they push towards the audience, how excellent that is. I don't want to hear how excellent that is for them. I want to hear how great it is going to be for me.
And do you think that businesses embrace the depth of their narrative enough?
I think we're going that route. I think we're not there 100%, especially when it comes to niche industries. And what I mean by that, if it's a finance or regulated industry like pharma, they're definitely trying to get on board in terms of being more emotional, being more authentic, and keeping the customer at the center of it rather than the brand. But there is still room for growth. I'll be very frank here. We still have that level of whether we're targeting a younger audience, whether we're talking about Gen Z, whether we're talking about millennials and who cares about what. And I think not everyone gets it 100% right. And I think that's probably a good thing, because if everybody got it right, it wouldn't be a business landscape. But I think very much on their way. Obviously, when we're talking about larger brands, they're much more successful on it. But we all heard stories and scandals as of recently that huge brands get it wrong. And at times they get it very wrong because somebody in the marketing or branding department thought that was a good idea. So again, it's one of those things that we still have a high road to take here.
like sort of getting caught up in their own internal sort of messaging framework instead of looking outwards.
Oh, yeah.
And you touched upon it a little bit there, but there is such a good fit, such a thing as bad press. And how do you go about fostering the connections of an audience that extend beyond being just a transaction? And how would you track that?
PR can be tracked. It is about the tone of voice. It is about the publications and the number of publications you get. But it is also about that communication. And I think with social media, especially in the business landscape, where we were probably a little talking more so about LinkedIn than any other network. But everything can be tracked in terms of engagement, in terms of followers, in terms of overall communication. I think when it comes to how brands interact with the public, it is important that no comment goes unanswered. It is important to have a social media connection that is not just for publicity, but also for communication purposes. So if there is feedback from your clients, if there is feedback from people that are interested in your brand, you definitely have to engage with them as much as possible. I think it is also about being authentic in terms of the C-level brand. It is important when the corporate world is not too far behind the corporate page, because ultimately people buy from people. They don't buy from companies. So if a brand is associated with somebody, and that somebody often tends to be the person at the helm of it, I think it is important to make sure that their social media is very engaging and there is enough feedback in terms of the interaction with the audience. But also the media, when it comes to the media landscape, it is still important to have the traditional interviews, television, radio. Those are still the mediums that are out there and they're very, very well respected. I wouldn't say that the younger audience trusts them as much as the older crowd, but it is still important to have your voice out there. And if you do have the opportunity to engage with a journalist to have an interview one-on-one, by all means do so. But prepare for it.
One last thing before getting to the quickfire questions, just a little bit of a diversion, because we went to the Web Summer last year, the first time I actually went, to be fair. So I was really, really excited. And we saw you at the conference, because obviously you do a little bit of panel moderating. And it's something that I find really fascinating, because it's like, you know, striking that balance of nerves. I'm sure it's like a practice makes perfect sort of scenario, but I love how do you strike a balance between allowing those expert guests to express themselves while guiding the conversation in a direction that sort of aligns with the goals of the discussion?
I love moderating events, Josh. I love moderating. You mentioned it was your first Web Summit. It was my, I think, fourth or fifth Web Summit. I also tend to be a frequent guest at Toronto Collision. That's where ultimately I'm from. So, I think moderating events is, you know, my sort of hidden passion. But again, my journalism background comes into play here, because ultimately it is about giving a platform to the speaker, but also asking them the right question. I think as a moderator, you do have to understand that you're not there to shine. The speakers are there to be in the spotlight. You're there just to guide them in the right direction. So when it comes to questions, you have to make sure that you ask them the right questions, but also don't forget when there is a necessity to push it towards more of a tougher question, you should ask them that question. You shouldn't be afraid of it. A lot of the speakers will ask for questions ahead of time, and I tend to prep in a way where I meet with all my speakers, whether it's an online or offline event. I try to meet with them ahead of the talk and just sort of have a conversation, go through potential questions. But if something comes up in conversation, I'm going to ask them. And it ultimately is about listening to what the speaker says and following up on that. And if it is a panel, if it's a discussion between several guests, several speakers up on stage, allowing them to have a dialogue in between. So not if one of the speakers wants to ask another speaker something or follow up on that thought, don't jump in there. Let them do it. Let them have that discussion. Let them have a bit of an argument, a bit of a heat moment to the conversation. I think that makes a great panel. I think that makes a great talk at an event where everybody is engaged on stage. I've had panels where I just had one speaker. I've had panels where I had three or four. And I think the most engaging ones are where not everybody was agreeing with what the other speaker said, but it was fun and interactive. And I think that's something that as a moderator, you sort of have to keep an eye on. But again, my journalism background comes into play here. I tend to moderate a lot of events. I'd probably be doing more if I could, but I have a 3-year-old. So I try to limit my time as much as possible to several conferences a year, and that's it.
What lessons and skills can you take from moderating a panel discussion to bring it to, say, the boardroom?
I think it depends on the topic, but I personally, again, it is about listening. And when it's a discussion, if I'm doing something online, if I'm doing an online event and I'm talking about content strategy and HCP engagement, because I work with a pharma market, right? I tend to listen a lot because it is something that is of interest to me personally. If I'm doing a panel that, I tend to do panels that are of interest to me personally, so that way I can be engaged in the conversation as much as possible. I did a great panel at the last Web Summit on children's sleep. And when we had the conversation with a speaker, she has an app that helps essentially sleep train kids with, you know, assisting the parents as well. And when we had that conversation, I was actually actively listening because I have a son, right? I mentioned that. And then I mentioned to the audience at one point that my son has a routine. He has to bite an apple before he goes to bed. It's just something that he does. And everybody in the audience started laughing. And so somebody actually said, did you read him Snow White? But it's one of those aspects that you try to engage with the crowd as well. So you learn from the audience, you learn from the speaker. And that is ultimately how you can take that experience further. For me, listening helped me in my career a lot, helped me develop great branding and messaging when it comes to what my company does, when it comes to the public image of my company. And I think if I weren't actively listening to the CEO, to the co-founders, to the people that, to the clients as well, I'd probably go with, you know, just the messaging that I thought would work. But it is about, you know, looking at all the aspects and all the sort of corners of the story and understanding that you can apply certain things to your job in your routine.
That's the end of our main body of questions. And like I was saying to you before the lap, the quick fire. What's your sort of signature dish that you use to impress friends or family, even if you're not a great cook? Not saying that you aren't.
I'm glad that you pointed that out. I wouldn't call myself a great cook, but I do have two sort of signature dishes. Those are lemon pepper potatoes. They're sort of Greek-style potatoes that I absolutely love, and everybody that comes over, that they know that they're going to get that for dinner. And an apple pie. I love a great slice of apple pie, so.
Both great choices. Lemon pepper, anything, I'll try lemon pepper. It's just amazing no matter what you put it on. In another life, what do you think your career would be?
Probably be a singer. I probably sing. Yeah. I wouldn't call myself a Beyonce or anybody of that caliber, but I definitely go into music.
You've given a lot of really great advice over this past sort of half hour. What is the best piece of advice that you've ever given?
I wouldn't call it a piece of advice, but I would just call it something that struck a chord with me. At the very beginning of my career, I tend to be, I'm not the person that panics easily, but when there's live TV and you have to book guests and you have to go on air, stress can get to you. And one of the writers that ended up being my great friend afterwards, he's much, much older. He's been in television for a very long time. And he said, don't worry about it. It's not brain surgery. Nobody's going to die. And that stayed with me for a very long time. And when people tend to freak out when it comes to work or stress, unless you're a brain surgeon, unless you're saving somebody's life, you shouldn't probably worry about it to that extent. I think everything, you know, you can push a deadline, you can and fix things, you can go back to it, revise a strategy, review it. But unless there is a person that's on the operating table, you know, It's not that big of a deal. So yeah, that is one of the best advices that I got.
I completely agree. It's a really down to earth sort of take that I think I'd certainly remind you of sometimes, that's for sure. And that brings us to our last sort of question. It's our trademark question. We asked this to everybody. So on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most, how weird are you, Julie?
Depends on the day, I'll be honest. But I'd say a very solid 7.
Nice, nice. That's brilliant. That's a great place to leave it. So thank you so much for your time, Julie.
Josh, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
As we close out another episode, make sure to like, subscribe, and follow us on our social channels. Want to access Label Sessions for your brand? Whether you want to build new products, access world-class mentors for your team, or reinvent the way you attract talent into your business, visit Label Sessions to find out more.